Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 53, Filters, Helping Your Car to Live a Clean Life. Well, I guess the first thing to talk about is what does a filter do, which seems pretty elementary, but in any case, I'll cover it. What does a filter do? Well, it cleans whatever fluid or air is passing through it to remove particles or contaminants that would otherwise cause excessive wear, reducing the total life of a part or cause us to breathe unhealthy air. Filters are typically, as far as in the automotive world, are typically found in, we have an air filter for the engine, an oil filter for the engine oil, typically a fuel filter for the fuel, an automatic transmission filter for the automatic transmission, and also a cabin air filter for the air we breathe inside of the car. Filters do have a life. They certainly, obviously, over time, as they're filtering these different particles or contaminants, they become more and more dirty to the point where they can eventually become clogged, which means at that point they're no longer allowing the proper flow of whatever's going through them. The first filter I'm going to talk about, most of the filters besides the cabin air filter will filter down somewhere to about 2 to 4 microns. Now, these are still particles that are visible to the human eye. Obviously, they are very small. A perfect example in regards to air and the air filter for the engine would be, we've all been in situations in our lives where, you know, you're in a room, it's relatively still, calm air. Maybe the sun happens to come through at a certain angle, or you've got a light on in the room. Bottom line is that you can see particles of dust floating around in the air. And, you know, you kind of come to the realization of, wow, that's happening all the time, obviously, because this is, you know, inside of a room, it's calm air, and we see it happening all the time. There's these little particles of dirt that are literally flying around, dust and so on and so forth. Well, of course, the engine, if it was unfiltered, the engine would be breathing all of that in. And certainly dirt or dust particles or anything else that would get past the filter, if there is one, which there better be, is going to become an abrasive inside the engine. So it could wear the engine out quite quickly. Supposedly, I've read that if you took the amount of dust that would be compressed into one typical size aspirin tablet, okay, if that dust were to be released inside the engine, whether it be over a long period of time or a short period of time, you've now caused what would be equivalent of 75,000 miles worth of wear to the inside of the engine. So obviously filtering the air as best as possible is extremely important, and hence the reason, as a, for instance, the air filter for the car engine is very important. Okay, as an example of how much air an engine breathes to actually run correctly, if we're talking about an internal combustion gasoline-powered engine, that is a chemical, it's a heat pump. Okay, so obviously it's burning air and fuel. There is a chemical reaction that's going on there, and part of the that chemical reaction, there's a ratio of pounds of air to pound of fuel. Okay, it's called stoichiometric, and that ratio is 14.7 pounds of air to 1 pound of fuel. Now, of course, the thing to contemplate is well, how much air does it take to make up a pound of air? Okay. Well, it just so happens that basically if you'd, we've all seen, you know, maybe we paid attention, maybe not, but, you know, you're driving down the road and here goes obviously it's a gasoline tanker truck goes by us. If you do pay attention, there's that sign on the back that's a square sign that says 1203. That means gasoline is in that tanker truck. Now, if it's a double tanker truck, we are just talking about one single tank, okay, but those real huge, long tanks. It just so happens those tanks typically hold, each one, about 10 to 12,000 gallons of fuel. Well, obviously, if you empty that tank out, it now has 10 to 12,000 gallons of air in it. Well, stoichiometric, 14.7 pounds of air to 1 pound of fuel, it actually takes about 10 to 12,000 gallons of air to burn 1 gallon of fuel, if we're talking about at the proper ratio or stoichiometric, okay? All of that air is traveling through that air filter and being filtered. Now, again, this is to burn 1 pound of fuel, okay? So, obviously, it takes a humongous amount of air to burn gasoline in an internal combustion engine, okay? You want to make sure that you have, whether you're doing it yourself or the shop that's doing it for you, is putting in a proper, correct quality filter. And again, I'm talking about air right now, but this would be true really of any of them. A good quality air filter should be able to filter out about 98% or more of the dirt particles. Okay, so obviously the vast majority of the dirt that's suspended in the air and, you know, other foreign material, leaves, whatever the case may be, it's going to filter it out, okay? And again, that filter obviously has a lifespan. It used to be years ago, prior to the 1999 model year, we're talking about specifically BMWs, that the air filter was recommended replacement was at 30,000 mile intervals. From 99 and later model year, they went to 60,000 mile intervals. Initially, it was the same filter, which is sort of an interesting thought, okay? This is what they were, their program of the, you know, prepaid maintenance agreement, where they're, in my mind, they were basically artificially reducing the cost of maintenance, okay? The bottom line is that most manufacturers, whether this is in writing or not, they consider the life of a car to be 100,000 miles, okay? They don't necessarily want you to get any more life out of it than that. I mean, obviously, it's up to you, but having them considering that and taking that to heart, this is one of the reasons why they've reduced the maintenance intervals, is or increased them, actually, if you want to look at it that way. Where, yes, it is less costly to maintain it if you follow what BMW specifically says, but the bottom line is that parts of your car, potentially major parts, are going to wear out quicker than if you simply did it what I would call old school. Okay, as a, for instance, prior to the 99 model year, BMW used to recommend oil change intervals at about 7,500 miles. Inspection ones were at 15,000, and inspection twos were at 30,000. And during the inspection two, that was when things like the air filter got replaced, fuel filter, so on and so forth. Okay. And again, all those mileages got doubled, okay? Now, on most cars, you can't even replace the fuel filter because, I mean, you can, but you're now replacing the entire fuel pump that's in the tank because the filter is part of the fuel pump, okay? I think BMW and most manufacturers that do it that way, their thought process is that, you know, when the filter is going bad or getting plugged up, the pump's going to go bad anyway, so just do it all at one time. The other reason is because they have gone to what's called returnless fuel systems. And actually, I'll be talking more about that in the next episode, episode 54. It's going to be called Fuel Supply Systems, Old Days to Present Day. And I will talk much more about what's called a returnless fuel system. But in the meantime, if we, getting back to the air filter again, if we talk about that, basically, it means that, let's say you're driving along, let's say your car averages about 30 miles to the gallon of fuel, okay, usage, and you've traveled 60,000 miles. It means that there's about 2 million gallons of air have now passed through that filter, okay? 2 million gallons of air. So depending upon the air quality in your area, in my mind, that filter is long past its useful life, okay? Now it's choking the engine. The engine can't breathe properly. And frankly, you know, this is true really of any filter. You know, again, getting back to the, you know, extended maintenance intervals and the fact that BMW basically wants the life of the car to be over with at 100,000 so that you trade it in and get something newer. Okay. I suppose in some respects you can't blame them for that. You know, they want to sell more product, like any business. But if your thought process is, if you love your car, you want to take care of it properly, my advice is to do what I would call old school, which, I mean, what I talk to my customers about is doing oil filter changes at 5,000 mile intervals, doing the inspection one at, you know, I'm still okay, really, with doing the inspection one at 30,000, inspection two at 60,000. But frankly, you know, there's going to be things, additional things I would do at 30,000, like replacing the air filter, that BMW says wait until 60,000. So there's a big part of me, again, it really depends on the customer. If they're, you know, let's say I see them for the first time at like 50 or 60,000 miles, and I have, you know, a talk with them and ask them a few questions, and they say, well, hey, I keep cars to 100,000 and then I trade them in. Well, then let's just do what BMW says to do. Okay. I mean, unless you're selling the car private party, or you're going to be giving it or selling it to someone you care about, you know, a friend or business associate or a relative or whatever, by doing extra work, you're not going to get, you know, if you're just trading it into a dealership, you're not getting any value out of that. You could tell them, hey, I've been doing things more often. They're going, oh, that's great, thanks, you know. But it's doubtful necessarily will they will give you any more value for the trade-in. I mean, they might, but I wouldn't want to hold my breath for it. In regards to selling it private party, if you find the right buyer who values that, then yes, you can get some of that money back as far as what you spent for the additional repairs and maintenance and stuff. But, you know, obviously it's a negotiable item, okay? But bottom line is that if you're planning on keeping it over 100,000 miles, I would definitely do things literally twice as often as what the manufacturer recommends, okay? You know, same thing with oil changes. I mean, it used to be, if you did what the car told you to do, which it does, and this is true to this day, it does look at how you drive the car, okay? So for some people, the maintenance service would count down quicker or show services do more often versus someone else who drives it a different style, okay, or a different way, okay? But I would say on average, most of the cars today that are relatively newer, the car is either going to let you go typically about 15,000 miles. If it's an early turbocharged car, it's going to be 15,000 miles. As the cars get newer, like about, let's say, 2010 to 2012 and later, they actually reduce that mileage down to 10,000 miles because they realized, especially with turbocharging, that's letting that engine oil go too long. Okay. Turbocharging is very hard on oil. Okay. There's a lot more heat involved in the engine compartment. The turbines themselves are spinning upwards of 150 to possibly even 180,000 RPM when they're at full boost. I mean, things are cranking. Okay, you're obviously asking for more power, so now the engine's under more load, so on and so forth. Okay, so again, if someone wants to get, you know, a lot more miles out of their car, you know, doing it at even 10,000 mile intervals, as far as the car is concerned, I consider it to be too long. Okay, I would drop it down to 5,000 miles. And the thing is getting back to, a person could say, well, you know, why did they move up from 7,500 to 15,000, so on and so forth? It's because of the technology of the oil and the synthetics and all of that stuff. Chemically, the right oil will last 10 or 15,000 miles, okay? But that's not ultimately what wears the engine out. What wears the engine out is microscopic dirt. It's the dirt that's gotten into the engine through the air filter, okay? Again, the filter can only filter down to so small of a particle. Anything smaller than that, it's going to pass through, and the engine's going to essentially inhale it. And obviously, we're talking about a huge amount of air at any given time. Okay, so the question becomes that just because the oil chemically can last, again, 10, 15,000 miles, what's really wearing the engine out is this microscopic dirt. So the question becomes, regardless of what oil you have in there, how long do you want to leave that oil in the engine before it's changed, okay? That's what really actually turns the oil dirty looking. That, and yes, there is certainly byproducts of combustion that gets into the oil. But, you know, in today's world with technology and the types of fuels we have and the proper oils, there's no doubt that engines are inherently burning cleaner than they used to. They're more efficient. There's lower emissions. And so the amount of the dirtiness look of the oil is less a factor of byproducts of combustion, and it's more of a factor of the dirt that gets into the engine through the air filter. Okay. So in my mind, not only changing the oil and filter is more important, or, you know, it's important, obviously, but again, getting back to the air filter, that's extremely important as well. All of these filters, again, short of the AC microfilter, which I'll talk about in a moment, all of these filters filter down to, again, about 2 to 4 micron, okay? You can see these particles in the right conditions. The one filter that filters down to microscopic is the AC microfilter, or what's also called the cabin air filter. This filters the air that you're breathing inside the car, okay? It is considered a micron filter. BMW, their filters that they require, or certainly, you know, this is what comes from factory, is not only a special micron paper filter, it also has some kind of an activated charcoal part of it as well, which helps to remove odors, okay? So the idea being is that a good, proper AC cabin micron filter will filter not only dirt particles we can see, it will filter out, you know, mold, pollen, in theory, although I will say on my own car, I haven't necessarily seen this happen completely, but the idea being is that if your car is properly sealed and you have a good operating, properly operating climate system, if you were to get behind, you know, let's say a bus or something, and they, you know, they take off from a stoplight and they're ahead of you, and that, you know, nice black diesel smoke comes belching out, in theory, you shouldn't be able to smell it. You know, you've got your AC on or whatever, you should not actually be able to smell that, okay, assuming you don't have a window open, okay. Personally, in my own car, I do catch somewhat of a whiff of it. Maybe it's just me because I'm kind of tuned into, you know, the smells that normally come from a car or whatever. Believe it or not, sometimes the sense of smell is part of a diagnostic process. So hopefully we're not tasting too many things as technicians when we're when we're working on cars. But believe it or not, certainly sight, sound, smell, the sense of touch, those are all of the five senses. You know, those four can definitely be used quite often, actually. In regards to, you know, trying to recreate a symptom or diagnose a particular problem, or even as part of a testing procedure for something. So getting back again to the AC microfilter, you know, again, it is a micron filter. It is filtering down to microscopic size particles, stuff that we can't even see. So it gets interesting when I replace those that, you know, obviously if I pull one out and I can see that it's, you know, dirty, or I've had ones that were filthy. I've even had ones where the car came in, the complaint is that, gosh, my AC system seems to be working good. There's cold air coming out, but there's not very much air coming out, you know, the actual flow of air. And maybe they've noticed that the fan blower kind of sounds funny, like it's being choked or muffled. Okay, well, the first thing I do, I mean, I notice it right away too, is I take out and remove the AC microfilter, and lo and behold, the thing is just jammed full of dirt and maybe leaves or feathers or whatever the case may be. Okay, well, realize again that that's all stuff you can see. So the question becomes is if I can see this and it looks filthy, I mean, how bad is it really? Because obviously there's microscopic particles you can't see, okay? And you replace the filter, and lo and behold, the AC goes back to working the way it's supposed to, and there's plenty of airflow, and everybody's happy. So all of these filters, you know, help to prolong the life of your car. getting back to the air filter situation, what gets interesting is that in the old days, you know, years and years and years ago when we had carbureted engines, this was before fuel injection and before what's called feedback fuel systems. Typically what would happen, just because of the nature of the way a carburetor works and the Venturi effect, is as the air filter for the engine got dirtier, it basically ultimately made the air-fuel mixture what's called richer. In other words, the engine was getting less air and the same amount of fuel, so therefore that stoichiometric was moving towards what's called the rich side. So it was getting less air, the same amount of fuel, so the mixture was becoming richer, which starts to affect fuel mileage, it affects the emissions. Ultimately, you start having black smoke coming out the back, the engine can start running rough, so on and so forth, okay? Well, now if we fast forward to later model cars that have a feedback fuel system where there's oxygen sensors in the exhaust that sense how much oxygen was left over from that last combustion process, okay? In other words, the very last piston that just fired and exhaust gases exited from the combustion chamber, that oxygen sensor can now read how much oxygen was in that exhaust. It turns it into a voltage, a varying voltage, and it feeds back that information to the engine management system. And again, depending upon the car, if we're talking about reasonably later model type cars that have obviously very fast computers, it can actually change the mixture before the next cylinder fires. Okay, that's how quick it is. The thing is that because of that system, as you have an air filter that is getting dirtier and dirtier, it will self-adjust the air-fuel mixture. So from an emissions standpoint, whatever's going out the back is still what it's supposed to be. So what's happening is that it sees there's less air because your air filter is becoming clogged, so it just reduces the amount of fuel that's going in. So the mixture stays correct. The problem is that now you have less air and fuel going into your engine, which means less fire, which means less power, so on and so forth. So what happens, and this of course is all subconscious because it's happening so slowly, is you basically get a bigger right foot. In other words, to accelerate the car the same amount that you would normally have to push a little bit on the gas, now you've got to push more on the gas. And this is all because of partially plugged or an air filter that is at or beyond the end of its life. Okay. So you're now forcing the engine to work harder, okay, to produce the same amount of fuel of horsepower. Okay. You're putting more load and wear and tear on the engine. And this is for want of an air filter that should be replaced. Okay. We're talking about, on most BMWs anyway, we're talking about maybe a $25 to $40 part. I mean, it's like, come on, throw the thing away. Give the engine a chance to live. Okay. The analogy I like to use, it would be like taking a marathon runner who's a record-setting marathon runner and put them at the beginning of the race, but put some sort of choker collar around their neck and then say, okay, go ahead, take off. We'll see how they do. Okay. Probably not well. They're going to get tired quicker. They're not going to be able to breathe properly. Why? Well, because their air supply is choked off. It's the same thing that's happening to an engine. So just because the, you know, modern technology allows it to properly adjust the air-fuel mixture to where, from an emission standpoint, you're still at what would be considered stoichiometric, okay? The problem is that for one of a $25 or $30 or $40 air filter, you're putting more load on the engine and you're causing it to essentially wear out quicker, okay? And because you're doing that as far as accelerating or pushing harder on the accelerator pedal, ultimately you are actually creating more emissions and lower fuel mileage than if you simply replace the air filter, okay? So I'm a big advocate of replacing, especially engine air filters, but, you know, frankly, they all accomplish the same thing one way or the other. They all filter particles or contaminants that, if allowed to go directly into the engine or float around in the transmission or come inside the cabin of the car, it gets pretty nasty, Okay. If you want to find out more about the AC filter particular, check out episode number 42, which has already been released. It's called AC Micron Filter, Replace and Breathe Easier. I go in much more in depth on that particular filter, what it's really doing, and the you know, the health benefits by replacing it in a timely manner, which is basically once a year. This is assuming you drive about 15,000 miles a year, which is national average, and it's also assuming that you're not in, you know, horribly dirty type atmosphere conditions. I mean, if you're live or drive around the farmland or something like that, it might even be needful more often. And frankly, if you were to, if you look in your owner's manual, you'll see, as far as recommended service intervals, you'll see kind of like a normal area where it might say normal usage, but there's also going to be an area that says severe duty usage. What's interesting is that if you read under severe duty usage, it's going to make a definition of what does that mean. And typically it's going to say something like, if you do one or more of the following with your car, then it's considered severe duty usage. And those would be things like extended idling periods, extended high-speed driving, extended stop-and-go driving, extended many short-trip driving. Okay. Well, most people, especially in the L.A. area, I mean, my shop and I live in the Southern California area, most people, unless they have a relatively short commute and so on and so forth, they're basically in their normal drive is one or more of those things I just mentioned. Okay, so might be worth a little bit of investigation, a little homework to pull out your owner's manual and find where under maintenance, okay, and where and see if there is an area that says severe duty usage. And you might be surprised that the odds are that you're driving your car in such a way that you're at least driving it under one of those circumstances, if not more. Okay. Well, then see what it says about, you know, well, what do you do with severe duty usage? Frankly, a lot of the times, I mean, obviously it's up to the manufacturer, but they will essentially, they'll say something like, well, cut the mileages from the normal duty usage by half. Okay. Well, the odds are now you're going to fall into, you know, some or most of the what I would call old school recommendations. You know, again, oil filter change at 5,000 miles, engine air filter at 30,000 miles, the AC microfilter once a year or 15,000 miles. Transmissions, automatic transmission filters can be up in the air. It really depends on what car you have. And, you know, certainly at least do what the manufacturer says. If you drive the car hard, you might want to do it more often than that. But again, this is all predicated with the idea of how long are you planning on keeping the car. So that's really kind of, you know, if you can answer that question first, then all these other questions and answers kind of fall into line, because it just depends on what your goals are for the car. So I hope this has been helpful for you. You know, again, I'm very big on preventative maintenance, and so this is something that's kind of been on my mind for a while, and so I thought, well, I'm gonna do an episode on this. So I hope it's been helpful. I hope it's been enlightening for you. I appreciate your time listening. And again, as usual, if you want to get a hold of me via email, it's bkpodcast5@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn as a social media type outlet. I also keep in mind that I do own and operate a one-man BMW repair shop in Newbury Park, California. The shop name is Brad's Motor Works. Yes, I have a couple different websites you can go to kind of check it out if you're so inclined. And, I hope you have a good day, and appreciate you listening, and I hope you have a great evening, and we'll go from there. Thanks again for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.